We come to the verse 5 today. We come to the third of these Beatitudes that the Savior pronounced upon His disciples. Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There is nothing more important for us to understand than to remember again that as we come to these familiar and well-known words, that we come to the feet of Christ. We come with His disciples to Him. It is the Lord that we want to come to today. We were singing just a moment or two ago of the desire that the channel would be forgotten and that only Christ would be seen. We ought to make that our prayer again today, that as we come to these words, we will hear those words from the lips of Christ Himself. If we are to learn from Him, of course, we must submit to Him. We must submit our hearts and our minds to His instruction. And as we proceed this morning, we will see that that is one of the prominent characteristics of the meekness that He exhorts here. That meekness that is pronounced blessed. Well, we can set out on that path to blessing this morning as we submit now to the Word of God and desire to bring our hearts under the teaching of His Word. May He open His mouth and speak to us again today. Here we have, of course, another aspect and element of true happiness set before us. The disciple of Jesus Christ needs to know what true happiness is, needs to be reminded again and again. The Lord repeated the words here on 9 occasions, pronouncing His blessing upon different matters, pronouncing the way to true happiness. We've said that that's what this first section of the Sermon on the Mount deals with. And today we need to be reminded again of where true happiness is to be found. For we forget. We forget. We get sidetracked. We get carried away. And we look for happiness in other things. But we need to bring our minds again today under the yoke of the Word of Christ and find happiness in what He says. I believe that if we give attention to these words, if we give attention to the instruction that Jesus Christ gives to His disciples here, then we'll be happy. We'll be the happiest people on earth if we'll only obey the Savior, if we'll only listen to His Word. And that is our desire today, to find happiness in the way that Christ directs us to find it in this text. Let's look then at the verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want us to think first of all of what this meekness is and where it originates. Where does true meekness come from? What is the Savior speaking about when He is talking about the meek? Now we have seen already the importance of understanding just what exactly He's talking about. We have seen in verse 3 when He's talking about the poor that it's a very specific kind of poverty that He's talking about. When He speaks of the mourning in the verse 4, it's a special kind of mourning that He pronounces to be happy. Well, what does He mean when He is talking about the meek? Meekness is associated with the idea of humility, of mildness and gentleness of manner and of action. It is the very opposite of pride. It is the very antithesis of self-assertion, self-vindication, selfish anger. Meekness is something that is the very opposite of selfishness. As so many today live, governed by self. So many, sadly, even of the Lord's people, live in a way in which self is too much to the fore. And we desire to be proved right. We desire to be vindicated. We desire to assert ourselves. We desire so much to stand up for ourselves. And it seems that the motto of so many today is that we have to stand up for ourselves and to put our own interests first. But that's not the way to happiness. That's not the way to blessing. If a child, and I think many of us have witnessed this firsthand, if a child is brought up to indulge self and to live only for self, The misery of that life is generally written all across that child's countenance. The most miserable child on earth is one that is taught to live for himself and just to live in a selfish fashion and to want this and that and the other thing and to have every desire indulged and to have self and selfishness encouraged. That breeds misery. It doesn't breed happiness. It doesn't produce happiness. Meekness, the Savior says, humility, mildness, gentleness, submission, surrender. That's the way to happiness and to the blessing of the Lord. This meekness that the Lord Jesus is speaking about is not simply a weakness of character. We know that there are those who are so weak in their character that they never seem to be able to do anything. And they just bow before anything that comes their way. And they grovel and they cringe and they have no spine, as it were. But that's not what the meekness that the Savior is talking about is. Meekness, the meekness that the Savior is contemplating here and upon which he pronounces a blessing, is in fact one of the strongest virtues that a man can possess. This meekness that he blesses will stand up against pride. In fact, it will bring pride under control. Now, the pride of man's heart is one of the strongest vices that is to be found in the depraved heart. But this meekness that the Lord Jesus, far from being weakness, is a virtue that can control pride and keep us humble. This meekness is a virtue that can stand up against the raging passion of anger in the soul. And anger surely is one of the strongest passions of the human heart and its depravity. And yet meekness, you will find in Scripture, stands up against anger and conquers it and subdues it and brings it into control. The meek man is one who's not soon angry. He controls himself. He controls his spirit. He controls his fleshly anger. That sinful anger. Now, of course, there's room for righteous anger. The meek man will be angry in due season and in a proper fashion. The Lord Jesus was meek, but he was angry. Moses was the meekest of all men, and yet at times his anger burned. But it burned against sin. It burned against those things that God was angry with. Meekness is a virtue that brings sinful, selfish, that temper, that anger that rises up so quickly within our soul. The meekness that the Savior is speaking about is of sufficient strength to check that. It can keep a check upon angry words. It can keep a check upon a tongue that is quick to say hurtful and bitter things. It's not weakness. It is indeed a virtue and a strength. Some of the strongest vices of the flesh are kept under by this grace of meekness. Meekness, simply, is the spirit of subjection and subordination to God. That's what it boils down to. That's what the Savior is speaking about here. The meek man is a man who is in subjection, who is in a state of subordination to the mind and the will and the purpose of God. He submits himself to God's order. He submits himself to God's ways. He submits himself to the Lord in all things. He is a man under authority. He is a man in subjection and in submission to the Lord. I think that the spirit of meekness is exemplified most clearly obviously in the person of Christ, but particularly in those words that he spoke. You remember how in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his crucifixion, he is in prayer and he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now there is an example of meekness. That is the example of the meekness that the Savior is speaking of here, a submission and a subjection to the will of God in all things. That's what we want to think of this morning as we contemplate the meek who are pronounced blessed and who shall inherit the earth. Now, from what I've said already about this meekness, I think that you will begin to understand that the meekness that the Lord Jesus is speaking of is not the product of human nature. It is not the product of the human heart. Man by nature is not meek. Man by nature is a rebel. Man by nature has self as his God. He rebels against the Lord. He lives for his own purposes and his own pleasures. And he is not in subjection. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. That's what man is by nature. He cannot be in submission. He is not in subordination to the Lord and to his ways. But you think about it here. The Lord Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek. But man by his own efforts and in himself can never be in a state of blessedness. Blessedness is a state of grace. The blessing of God is pronounced upon those who are brought by grace into a state of blessing. They are worked upon by the Lord. Man by nature, you will know, is under the curse of God, not his blessing. And he can never get out from under the curse and under the blessing of God unless the Lord works in grace within him. So whether we're thinking of poverty of spirit, or whether we're thinking of that mourning that the Lord Jesus talks about in verse 4, or the meekness now that we're considering, it's a work of grace. It's not something that's found naturally in the human heart. If man, in his natural, unconverted, sinful condition, is to find true happiness and to find the blessing of God, then the Lord must work in grace in his heart and produce this meekness, this grace that will bring him into a state of blessing. Meekness, you will find in Scripture, is one of the distinguishing marks that sets apart those whom God has worked in. Those whom God has worked in and those whom he has saved are the meek. You will find that. Those whom he has done a work of grace in, obviously he has humbled. Man in his pride and his rebellion lifts himself up against God, but he'll never be saved until he's humbled. We only enter the kingdom as a little child, as the Savior says in Matthew 18 there. And he's not speaking about our age when we must be saved. He's speaking about the attitude. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. It's humility that brings us into the kingdom. And until God does that humbling work in the heart, then man will be outside the kingdom. And I'm saying that meekness is a characteristic of those whom God has saved. Meekness is necessary to salvation. It's necessary to a state of blessing. It's necessary if we're going to come under the blessing of God. That humility of heart and that the dealing with pride that fills man's heart by nature. Now, meekness is a mark of God's people. Let's just turn for a moment to the Psalm 149 and the verse 4. Psalm 149, the verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now you'll see that in verse 4, there are two words used that are parallel terms. We have his people and then we have the meek. The meek are his people. His people are the meek. The meek are those whom he saves. Those who are his people are those whom he saves. Only the saved are the people of the Lord. You can't be in among the people of God in its proper sense, unless you're saved. You may be among the congregation of believers, but unless you're saved, you're not one of his people. And if you're one of his people, then you'll be marked with this spirit of meekness. The meek are his people. His people are the meek. So what the Savior is speaking of here is an essential characteristic of a Christian. Here is the essence of what it means to be in the people of God, among his family. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have been humbled and have been saved by the grace of God and brought into his family. Aye, that's a blessing indeed. Those are the meek. There's another characteristic of the meek. If you turn to Zephaniah chapter 2 and the verse 3, the meek are those who obey God. Zephaniah chapter 2 and the verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment." They have worked out the ways of the Lord. They have lived in agreement with his word. They have carried out his law. They have lived under the discipline of his judgments and his testimonies, the words of his mouth. "Ye meek of the earth." Who are the meek? They're those who have obeyed his word. They're those who have lived according to his ways. "Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now the second part of the verse equates meekness and righteousness. And the righteousness here is justifying righteousness. It's the righteousness that will hide us in the day of the Lord's anger. It's the righteousness that covers us over and saves us from the wrath of God. And meekness is put here as being essential to possessing that righteousness. You can't be justified in the sight of God without being meek. You can't be justified in the sight of the Lord without there being a work of grace done in the soul to humble us and to bring us down into a state of meekness and lowliness and submission and subjection to the Lord. Those who are righteous, the prophet is saying, or gives us to understand here, are those who are in subjection to the Lord and to his ways. That's the mark of the justified. The spirit of anarchy, the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of rebellion is something that is utterly contrary to the Christian. The Christian today, we are told, is one who can live as he pleases and do what he likes and make up his own laws and make up his own standards. But that's selfishness. That's living for self. That's not living in meekness. And those who are justified are those who are meek. Meekness and justification go hand in hand. And where there is no evidence of a meek, subjective spirit that is in submission and in subordination to the word and the ways of God, there cannot be righteousness. There cannot be justification. There cannot be membership of God's family or of God's people. This meekness, this gospel meekness that the Lord is speaking about here, that is associated with justification and associated with membership of the Lord's people. If you turn over to the book of Colossians in the chapter 3, you will see that it is there stated to be one of the evidences of a true saving work of grace. In Colossians chapter 3, the verse 12, the apostle is urging these believers, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another." Now if you think about all those words that the Apostle Paul uses there, I think that we find them all summed up in the word meekness. Meekness means kindness and mercy. It means humility of mind. It means long-suffering and patience. It means forbearing one another, putting up with another's faults, not being quick to anger, forgiving one another. That's all embodied in the word meekness. But Colossians 3 and 12 makes it very clear to us that meekness is the evidence of election. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, meekness." This meekness of spirit that the Savior is speaking about is the evidence of having been elect by God unto salvation. And therefore I say that it's the evidence of a true saving work of grace. Because as we have seen in recent studies, those whom God elects, he saves, he justifies, he will glorify in the last day. It's an evidence of true saving work of grace done in the heart. Meekness. You can't be saved without meekness. And if you're saved, you'll be meek. That's just the way it is. There'll be that spirit of submission. That's how the child of God is known. That's how we may know the elect of God. They are those in subjection and in submission to the Lord and his ways. Then if you turn back a page or two to Galatians chapter 5, you'll learn something more about this meekness. The Lord would have us to understand here that it is the fruit of the Spirit in the life and in the soul. Where does meekness come from? Well, it's not in man by nature, for man by nature is at enmity with God. He's not in subjection, he's at war, he's a rebel. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Meekness is the product of the Holy Ghost in the life. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the evidence of Christ dwelling within us. Oh, blessed meekness, happy meekness, because it indicates that the Spirit of God is at work in the soul and in the life. Why does the Lord Jesus say, blessed are the meek? Happy are the meek. Why? They're happy because the Spirit of God is at work within them. The Spirit of God is at work within them to produce likeness to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Now, you'll know that in Galatians chapter 5 there is a contrast being drawn between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. You'll not find meekness in the list of the evidences of the flesh. You'll not find meekness there as part of those lists of things that characterize the natural heart and self and the old sinful nature that resides within the heart of the Christian. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing else can produce meekness in the life but the Holy Ghost. It is the grace of Christ, it is the life of Christ working within us by the power of the Holy Ghost that produces meekness of way and of heart. And it is therefore a happy thing to be meek, a happy thing indeed. It's the evidence of Christ within. I've said already that meekness is likeness to the Lord Jesus. Let's just turn to those well-known words in Matthew 11. You know them so well. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, verse 28, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now what's the first thing the Lord says we're to learn? As we come to Him for salvation, we're to take His yoke upon us. We're to be yoked to Him. That's what it means. We're to be yoked to Christ. We're to learn from His example. And the very first lesson we're to learn is meekness. Meekness. For I am meek and lowly of heart. See how meekness and lowliness, humility go together. Two synonymous terms. Meekness is likeness to Christ. That's what He's speaking about here. When He says, blessed are the meek, He may as well have said, blessed are those who are like me. Blessed are those who have learned of me. Are these not disciples? We have seen already in former days that that word simply means one who learns, and who learns from the example of the Master. And He lifts His eyes and He looks upon His disciples and He says, blessed are those who are like me. That's the meekness that He's talking about. Not the kind of hypocritical, plastic, painted-on humility and meekness that passes today as the grace of God in so many. There are those who wring their hands piously and speak with such humble words, and it's hypocrisy. It's in Christ that we have this meekness most clearly demonstrated, and it is in the heart of the disciple and in the life of the disciple by virtue of union with Him. It's when He dwells within and the Spirit of Christ is at work that there is true meekness produced. Now we have a question that we must face up to then as we contemplate what this meekness is. Is it found in me? Is it found in my heart? Has the Lord dealt with the spirit of rebellion? Am I in submission? Am I under the yoke? Is there a spirit of subordination in my heart? We move on to the second thing just to notice how this meekness is demonstrated. Our whole life falls into two basic divisions. Everything that we do or ever will do can be looked upon in two ways. First, in relation to God. Number two, in relation to man. We have, for instance, those two divisions in the moral law. That law covers everything. There's nothing in life that the law of God and the Ten Commandments doesn't cover. Nothing, but nothing. And the first part of it is seen in relation to our duty to God. The second, our duty to man. And everything in life falls into those two divisions. How it relates to God, how it relates to men, our fellow men. Meekness, therefore, shows itself in these two ways. It'll show itself in relation to God. It'll show itself in relation to man. And I just want to quickly point out these things. How does meekness show itself in relation to God? Well, meekness before God, remember, it's the spirit of submission, subjection, subordination. That spirit, seen in relation to God, evidences itself in a humble acceptance of all God's dealings with us as being right and just and true. And without murmur, without complaint, without charging God foolishly, to borrow those words that are stated about Job, we accept humbly, willingly, meekly what God does. We bow before God's sovereignty. We bow before God's sovereign purposes in all our lives. And no matter what comes, no matter what happens to us, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, the meek man will always say, "It is the Lord," to quote Eli, "Let him do that which seemeth him good." Meekness is simply then a bowing before the sovereign overruling of God in all areas of life. Now there are things that happen to us and we get mad. There are things that happen to us and we get grieved and we vex and we chafe under them. But the spirit of meekness will submit to them. Whatever the Lord does, it's right, it's just, it's good, it's that perfect, holy, and acceptable will of God. That's what meekness does. Meekness, therefore, will accept without question God's plan of salvation. That's where meekness is first seen, in the heart of man, when he's faced with the gospel. And meekness demonstrates itself like this, where the sinner comes and is confronted by the word of God. Does God say, "I'm a sinner"? I'll accept I'm a sinner. Does God say, "I'm filthy, condemned, can do nothing of myself and deserve hell"? I'll accept that too. I'll bow before that. I'll see, I'll recognize in myself that I am nothing, deserving only God's wrath and curse. That's meekness. There are those today and they want Christ. They'll tell you that. I want Christ. I want to be saved. But I want him on my terms. I want him on my terms. And they want Christ and their sin. And they want Christ and his salvation. But they don't want holiness. They want Christ and they don't want to submit to the yoke. You never can have salvation that way. The man who tries to strike a bargain with God will never be saved. Meekness bows before the gospel and says, "This is God's way of salvation. I embrace it as holy, right, and good. I embrace it without trying to redefine the terms. I'm embracing Christ without trying to strike a new bargain or to try to make some exceptions or to bring loopholes into it." Some will say, I'll take Christ, but I can't give up this. I will not give up the other. I want Christ, but he's not going to take over my life. I want to retain control. But no sinner will ever be saved on those terms. It's Christ or nothing. It's Christ as he is presented in the gospel or nothing. There's no renegotiation of the plan of salvation. And meekness, blessed are the meek, the Savior says, blessed are those who submit to God's way of salvation. The meek are those whose lives are ruled in everything by the word of God. If you turn over to the book of James in the chapter 1, in the verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." What does meekness do? Meekness receives the word. Meekness drinks the word in. Meekness lays apart sin, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The meek man is one who sets aside superfluous sin, sets aside sin as a filthy thing, and drinks in the word of God. And the chapter, of course, here in James 1 goes on, particularly there in the verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The meek man will hear. The meek man will do. The meek man will regulate his life according to the word of the Lord. Look at the Psalm 25 and the verse 9. "The meek will he guide in judgment." And always remember that word judgment doesn't necessarily mean God's wrath. Here it simply means his will, his way, his word. "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." It's the meek that the Lord is speaking about here. The meek man is one who will be guided by God in the ways of the Lord. The meek man is one who is in subordination to the leading of God. He's under direct guidance. He's under God's authority. And the Lord leads him. Blessed is the meek man, the Savior says. Blessed is the man under the authority of the Word of God and who walks in His ways. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul advises Timothy there, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." He's talking about a variety of sins that he's listed in the context. "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Oh, let everything in life be regulated by the Word of God. Let us run from sin and in meekness and in submission to the Word of God follow after righteousness and holiness. Disobedience to God's Word will never bring happiness. The meek man is an obedient man. The meek man is one who lives in agreement with the Word of God. Now we're saying that the meek man is one who is a Christian. He's one that the Lord has worked in. He's one that the Spirit of God is at work in. He's produced meekness in the heart of this man. It's a work of grace. That no child of God should live in disobedience. There is no way that the Christian should be one whose life is characterized by defiance of this word. The Christian, the meek man, is one who ought to be regulated in all things by the Word of the living God. It will never bring us happiness to defy this book. We will only find happiness, true happiness, as we are in submission to this book of God. You want to be happy? Subordinate yourself to this word. Bring your heart and your mind under the rule of Scripture. Set aside any notions about self-assertion. And I want to decide, and I want to do, and I want to be. That's miserable. That's the way to misery. Bring your heart and your mind and your life and your every activity under the rule of this book, and you'll be happy. You'll be blessed by the Lord. We have the assurance of Christ's word for that. Meekness shows itself then in relation to God in these ways. But it also shows itself in our interaction with men. And I just want to set these things before you. The meek spirit that the Lord speaks of here is a spirit that is demonstrated by proper submission to God-ordained authority. Let me just turn you to the book of Titus in the chapter 3. And Paul writes there, "Put them in mind," in the verse 1, "to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Two things we need to notice there. That meekness in the Christian will mean that they are in subjection to God-ordained secular authority. Now that's a subject all on its own. God calls us to be in subordination to the powers that be that He has ordained, that He has placed over us. Of course, our first duty is to the Lord. We obey magistrates because we first of all obey God. And where the magistrate requires something that is contrary to God, the Christian is under no obligation to obey men rather than God. It's the other way around. We ought to obey God rather than men. But that's a different subject. But you will see that meekness is to characterize our relationships with our fellow men. When we think of the earthly authority that we live under in the land, meekness is to characterize our conduct toward, as the Apostle puts it here, principalities and magistrates. But you see in verse 2, it's to characterize our activity or our interaction with every man. Now I think the context particularly is dealing with the condemnation of sin. The criticism of sin. And Paul says you're to be meek. Even when you're condemning sin, you're to be meek. And remember this, as he goes on in the context. Verse 3 particularly, you remember what you were. We ourselves once were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving or slaves to diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. When you look out on the sinner and God calls you to condemn their sin, never you forget, I was there too. This is what he's saying in this word. Don't speak evil of any man. When you have to condemn sin, condemn it with a spirit of meekness, remembering, I was once there. I once was a slave to sin. How dare we look down our nose at those who are held captive in the devil's chains, and once that's what we were. and would still be but for the grace of the mighty God. Even those who oppose us and persecute us are to be treated with a meek spirit. The Lord Jesus says, when they strike you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. 1 Timothy 6:11, he tells Timothy, even those who oppose themselves and contradict the teaching of the Word of God, instruct them with meekness, gently, tenderly, as one in submission to God and under the direct influence of His Word, gently rebuke sin. Gently deal with those who oppose you. Don't assert yourself. Turn the other cheek, he says, and show that you're in submission to the Lord. Meekness will be seen in the order of the Christian home. We don't have time to go into this morning. Meekness will be seen there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle there is speaking of the wives in particular. In 1 Peter 3 and the verse 3, verse 4, they are to have that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. The Christian home, as I've said, particularly here, verse 1 tells us he's addressing the wife. The Christian home is to be one ordered by the Word of God. It's to be one where meekness is to be seen. He quotes the example of Sarah in verse 5, who was in subjection to her own husband. She obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. The Christian home will be one where meekness is seen. The Church of Christ is a body where meekness will be seen. God has an order for the church, and Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the verse 3. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. There's an order. There is the Father, then the Son as the mediator, then the man, then the woman. This is God's order. And Paul is speaking there about the order in the church. That's how it's to be done. Meekness will submit to the order that God has instituted. Finally, let me just quickly point out the blessedness of the meek. Who can measure what the Lord does for His people? Look at what He says. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What a portion that is. There are those who talk about promising the earth. We use that phrase. They promise the earth, but they can't deliver. But the Lord promises the earth, and He will deliver. Does it not indicate that those who are meek, the Lord's people He's speaking about here, the true child of God, the one in whom Christ dwells, is one who has a great portion. The blessedness of the meek, simply, they're happy. Happy are the meek. You think about it, what is meekness? We've said it's submission to and surrender to the will of a sovereign God. Well, what could be more happy than that? Here is a safe haven. Here is a calm harbor in the midst of life's storms. God is at work. I am in the arms of a sovereign God. He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and He tells me that all things will work together for my good. What could be more productive of happiness than that? That's meekness. I leave it with God. Let the Lord work it out. There's no cause for anxiety, no cause for fear, when a sovereign God is in control and assures us that He's working for our good. Meekness is true wealth. Oh, what riches the meek man has. Did we not read there in Peter that the meek spirit is an ornament in the sight of God of great price? Blessed is the one who has that spirit of meekness, that which God values, that which God prizes. Isaiah 40 tells us that when God looks at the nations of men, they're counted as the dust of the balance, a very small thing. They're not worth anything, as it were, to the Lord. But the spirit of meekness, that's an ornament of great price in the eyes of God. Meekness is an element of the majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Him presented in His royal power in Psalm 45. And there He is spoken of as going forth in meekness. Part of His glory. Those who are meek share in the glory of Christ. Those who are meek are those whom God stands up for. We don't have time to turn to it, but if you look at Numbers chapter 12, we read there in verse 3 that Moses, a man meek above all men upon the face of the earth, and in the context of that statement, Aaron and Miriam criticize Moses and speak harshly of him. And what happens? God stands up for Moses. How are you not afraid to criticize my servant? How are you not afraid to speak these hard words of him? Oh, the meek man is a man that God defends. We have the same truth brought out in Isaiah chapter 11 and the verse 4, a chapter rich with prophecy about Christ. And we read this, "But with great righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." Oh, the Lord Jesus will stand up for the meek. He will stand up for those of his own people. What blessing that is. You know, it's better to be meek and have the Lord stand up for you than try to stand up for yourself. We only act sinfully and bring misery on our head when we stand up for ourselves. But let us submit to the will of God and say, "Lord, will you not stand up for me?" He said he will. The meek, we are told here, just let me leave this thought with you in conclusion, shall inherit the earth. I believe that it is the case. I believe that the Lord will give the earth to his people. I believe him when he says that the meek, my people, those in whom I dwell, those in whom the Spirit of God is at work, that people will inherit the earth. I believe it. Daniel 7:22 speaks about a day when the saints will possess the kingdom. And the kingdom in the context is on the earth. It's the kingdom that was ruled over by the emperors of Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. You know what that means? Look at what it says in verse 5. They shall inherit the earth. They have an inheritance. They are the heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and cannot fail to enter into their portion. God has said it. Happy is the man who is living in meekness, in submission to God and his ways. That's a child of God. That's a happy man. That's one who has an inheritance. Let us, as those who are called by the grace of God into the family of God, demonstrate more and more and more that fruit of meekness. If we're a Christian, it'll be there. That's part of what being a Christian means. It's there. It has to be. But oh, that the fruit of the Spirit in this area would grow and develop to its fullness in our lives. That you and I would be those who live gladly under the yoke of Christ and his Word. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.